Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. And as always, I'm joined by Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. Before we start today's show, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and like this video. If you have already, we appreciate you for doing that. Also, make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and on Facebook. All right, let's just get right into it. Yesterday, the Vikings improved to 10-2 this season after they beat the Jets 27-22. Despite the Jets gaining 486 total yards, including 369 passing yards from quarterback Mike White, the Vikings found a way to hold off the Jets and beat all four teams from the AFC East this season. They beat the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Patriots. One of the toughest divisions in the NFL this year, but the Vikings managed to beat them 27-22. Some keys to the game were the Vikings held the Jets to 1-for-6 in the red zone and 3-for-16 on third down. They also forced the Jets to turn the ball over twice. They did not turn the ball over at all, and the Jets were also penalized 6 times compared to the Vikings' 3 penalties. Now, Chris, you were there live in person watching the game from inside US Bank Stadium. So what was what was the atmosphere like from inside the stadium yesterday compared to maybe some other times you were there?
I don't mean to downplay, but it was nothing special. It wasn't like this, fired up. I mean, it was loud, obviously. You know, you expect that when your team is 9-2 and coming at home. And it's a little weird for a game like this against an AFC opponent, which you don't see maybe once every 4 years, maybe a little bit sooner with the way the new schedule is made up. A lot of purple there, not a lot of green Jets jerseys. I stood next to a gentleman. He had flown in from New York. His name was Tom. He had a thick accent and he definitely had that Italian temper thing going on throughout the game. I'm usually really nice to opposing fans because, I mean, it's cool to like meet other
Minnesota fans.
Yeah, exactly. Like even Cowboys fans, I'm like, well, welcome to the game. He's like, you guys are really nice and this is weird. But I don't know. I was talking to Tom and Adam Thielen had that catch late and I go, hey, did you know he's from Minnesota? He's like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah, he's from Minnesota. Yeah. It was loud. It was fun. Obviously, as the games get more important, it will be louder. I mean, I putting it in my perspective, I've been to the Minneapolis Miracle game. I've been to the Shank at the Bank. I've been to some other big Vikings games. I don't think it reached that level, but fans were definitely fired up and excited to see the Vikings at home for the first time in a couple weeks. So,
what do you think?
They played the Patriots last week. I forgot about that game.
What do you think? What do you think got the loudest reaction? Was there a specific
Like, was I would say it was Jefferson's touchdown in the fourth quarter. Was it fourth or third quarter? I think it was the fourth quarter.
It was the fourth because they don't do anything in the third quarter. So it was definitely the fourth.
Well, and I think, you know, it became, to quote Chris Boyd, tight butthole time in the fourth because the Vikings had a chance to, I mean, they were up 20-3 in this game. And if we want to nitpick about things and we want to get upset, you know, be like, why are you making this close? I will put it this way. You're a wrestling fan, obviously, like me. And I will quote Uncle Howdy because, you know, for those of you who don't speak wrestling, there is a guy named Bray Wyatt. And he, since he's come back, he's been like, hey, you know, I did some bad things in the past, but this is not me. This is not who I am, whatever. And then this creepy Uncle Howdy guy with a mask shows up and he's like, you know, destroying people and throwing kegs and small furniture at people he doesn't like. And he's like, revel in what you are, revel in what you are. That is what the Vikings should do. And I think we've mentioned this before. Fans should do the same thing. This is who this team is. Even when it was 17 points, I'm like, this game is probably going to come down to the last possession. Like, hey, you just felt it. And the other thing is, too, it's not like they did this against, you know, I don't want to say the Lions because they're actually favored against the Vikings next weekend so far. We'll get to that later, I'm sure. But I mean, this is the Jets. This is not, you know, we have that negative connotation about the Jets, right? Like they're one of the dumpster fire franchises in the NFL. This team is good. Yeah. Like this defense, they were kicking the crap out of Kirk Cousins in the first half to the point the Vikings had to change it up and be like, yeah, we can't have Kirk die on the field. We got to run the ball more. And that's what let the Jets back into the game. I mean, this is a very good team, even with Mike White at quarterback. I mean, people are going to crap on Mike White, but look at it this way. The Jets coaching staff watched Mike White in practice and said, yeah, he can do better than Zach Wilson. And they put him in the game, and he's played really well. I thought Mike White did okay yesterday for everything. No pressure at all. I didn't look at the pressure numbers, but it seemed like he didn't get pressured the entire game. But to answer your question, when Jefferson scored, that felt like the sigh of relief. And, of course, you know, people chanting MVP. I was one of them standing from where I was. But, you know, Vikings fans obviously love Jefferson and they thought, you know, that was the game. And the Jets said, you know, the Vikings probably said too by giving up those big, massive plays. But Garrett Wilson could have had a 200-yard game if he catches that touchdown. But
put them up, what, 27 to like 16, I think, I want to say.
I believe so, yeah. It was a two-score game, and then they ran right down the field and got the quarterback sneak touchdown, right?
Yeah, they went
that up. Was Donovan Knight, right?
Yeah, they went up 27-15. He had that long run because the Vikings were like, whatever, you know. Game's over. We got to make it competitive. It's not fun if we win by more than one score. I was watching that on the broadcast. Obviously, I wasn't there. And the touchdown, the QB sneak, clearly looked like the first time like that he was in.
Yeah.
And then the announcers said he wasn't, and the refs were like, no, he's not. And I'm like, what? And then they showed the sky cam. He was like, half his body was in the end zone. And they're like, he just got it in. I'm like,
no. Well, I could tell from where I was standing. I was on the opposite end of the field. And I'm like, I thought he went in. I'm like, snap the ball. But yeah.
Yeah, it was 27-15, and they had that long run, and then they got the QB sneak. Like I said, they held them 1-for-6 in the red zone. The Jets get one more touchdown in the red zone. That's all they needed, really, to win, or at least tie it. But the Vikings, you know, they gave a bunch of yards, but they stood strong in the red zone. I thought they did well in, like, the goal line situations. They held really strong. They did well on third down. Like, they didn't get a lot of pressure, like you said. I think Mike White was pretty good at getting the ball out quickly. I think that had a lot to do with that. And he could do that because he's got quick receivers like Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, who is very good, and he proved that on Sunday. He's going to be really good in this league. What's something maybe you noticed in person that people watching at home might not have noticed, like on the broadcast or anything? Was there anything like that?
Great beer lines, honestly. Okay. Well, and I'm at a little bit of an advantage because I'm kind of tucked away from the rest of US Bank Stadium. I got my secret spot. You know, there's not a lot of people there. You know, it's good to just kind of rapid fire there, of course, when they're like, you know, 17. Here's an odd question. Do you tip when you get a beer out of the game? Okay. Like, I always tip the vendors, but I don't tip Or I do tip the like workers at the stand. So like when I got a hot dog and a beer, I like tipped.
Yeah.
But I like if it's Wally the beer man walking around saying cold beer. Like,
no, yeah. Oh, if they have a tip jar or whatever, yeah, I'll put some stuff in it. But
100%, yeah.
If they, plus, yeah.
If those beer vendors, like the old school, I don't even think they do them. I mean, they definitely do it at Twins games where they have people walking around with beers and you can, yeah. And I think yeah. Wild games, they do it too. But like, you know, the Wally the beer man type dudes who are like, you know, going up and down the 60,000, stairs. Like,
yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, of people.
That's a lot. In all seriousness, not particularly. Like there was nothing like, oh my God, I saw this or that. Like, you know, when I go to games, I don't really have my announcer hat on,
right,
or like my analytical hat. Tell,
like if Za'Darius Smith was like hobbling or anything, or Kirk Cousins was like grabbing something.
I mean, Kirk winced a little bit,
yeah.
Like after some of those hits, and I mean, you know, the whole lower the shoulder thing on C.J. Mosley thing, that was kind of like a gasp where he was like,
"That was helmet to helmet." They didn't call it.
Yeah, and then he got up, and he's kind of wobbly, and he's like, all right, Kirko's here. So, I mean,
if you
was not Kirk's best game, but that was quite the moment.
Yeah, if you watch the broadcast, pretty sure he dropped an F-bomb, and it wasn't a frick. So, he was hurting pretty bad, but he's a tough guy. I don't think he gets enough credit for that from anybody, that he's always in there. He's no matter what, he'll get rocked every game and he'll still get back up. So we talked about how the Vikings were ahead. They're up 22-3 at one point. Then the Jets kicked a field goal and make it 20-6 at the half. Then nothing happened in the third quarter. Typically story of this year, except for a few games for the Vikings, third quarter is just a dud. And then they just wake up in the fourth quarter for some reason. But do you think Minnesota's offense or defense was more to blame for the Jets being able to climb back from that 17-point deficit?
Ooh. Well, I think both should shoulder the blame.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, when your defense gives up nearly 500 yards, obviously they let them in there. But, I mean, the offense needs to keep going. And then again, you know, to New York's credit, their defense is not easy to score against. Like.
No. No.
We're going to talk about this later. The Vikings haven't been exactly playing cakewalk teams.
Nope.
The defense on the other end, they're facing Mike White. They're facing Garrett Wilson, who is very good. They're facing a whole bunch. I mean, I'm not condoning anything, but if the offense keeps scoring and keeps adding in, like maybe even the Jets are like, all right, we're not catching them. You know, even if they just grind it out, these long drives to kill the clock, but they were like off the field. I don't remember the three and out numbers, but I mean, it seemed like they couldn't get a sustained drive except for the Jefferson touchdown. And then once that happened, you know, the Jets were able to make their way back into the game. So I think they're both concerns. I think the defense is a bigger concern, obviously, because this defense, Ed Donatell said himself, we do not allow big plays. And it was big play after big play after big play in the second half.
Yeah, it was pretty bad in the second half. Like the first half, the Vikings defense, they looked good. They looked real good. And then the Jets clearly made adjustments at the half. The Vikings clearly did not. And the Jets took advantage of it. But like you said, the offense didn't give them any help. They gained a total of, 10 yards in the third quarter. You can't do that. If you want,
I think Kirk had negative passing yards, but they don't count negative passing yards. It's just like a handoff.
Both of their drives, three of their drives, because one of them went into the fourth quarter, but all three of them were under 2.5 minutes. So your defense isn't going to get much of a break compared to the first drive that they had, which went for they had a couple drives in the first half that went for almost 7 minutes. So you know,
your defense is
going to get a nice break there. And those were the touchdown drives, and then they get a field goal, and yeah, so like the defense did not play great; they weren't getting any help. But at the same time, they stepped up when they needed to, and so did the offense. The offense came through. They whatever happened clicked in the fourth quarter. You know, Thielen got the ball, ran 5 yards backwards, and you know, got in there. Jefferson got the ball. You know, I thought Dalvin Cook ran really well yesterday, And then the defense, you know, of course, they came up with the turnover at the end. They came up with the stops in the red zone, the stops on third down. And they got some lucky breaks, but, you know, sometimes you got to be lucky to be good and good to be lucky. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say that that both of them deserved a good amount of the blame. What impressed you the most about the Vikings on Sunday?
They made the plays they needed to. Yeah. At the end, I once again, like, that's who they are, and that's the biggest difference between last season and this season. Is that going to result in the Super Bowl? Yeah, probably not. But the fact this team just gets punched in the mouth and they pick themselves back up and say, no, we're not losing this game, that's great. I mean, they're a team. They're not a whole bunch of guys pointing fingers at each other, you know. Right. It's almost like Kevin O'Connell. Like, you, I watched Remember the Titans for the first time a couple weeks ago, and I know that
first time.
About, yeah, I'd never seen it. Lindsay Young of Vikings.com actually taunted me. She was, I mean, Lindsay's like the nicest person ever, right? Yeah. So, I mean, she didn't exactly taunt me, but she's like, how have you not seen that? So I'm like, one night I finally did. And it's almost like, and I know it's like that movie's like more racially based, but you know, it's almost like Kevin O'Connell at training camp, like, all right, everybody off the bus, offensive guy, you're gonna live with a defensive guy, you're gonna tell me one thing you know about him, and the defensive guy, you're gonna tell me one thing you know about the offensive guy. So it really, yeah, it's just that's just kind of it. Like, this team knows when to pick each other up. They know when the offense is going down, or even like the defense, like middle of a drive, like, all right, you're not scoring. Like, you just got a 70-yard play. You're not scoring. So that's basically the big thing with this team.
Yeah. You talk about, like, you know, making this it's a team. I think Justin Jefferson's mentioned before that his locker is right next to Kirk Cousins. And those two are not, you know, they don't have like the most compatible personalities, you know, one being like super young and hip guy, and the other one being like,
you know, Kirk goes to the club with the chains.
No, maybe after this year, but not, you know.
Could you see Kirk doing what Eli Manning did, like playing flip cup in a bar with Daniel Jones? Like,
oh yeah,
him hanging out with, I don't like, I could see Adam Thielen going, he like him to, and Kirk just went, like, hey, you want to go for a couple beers? And all of a sudden, you know.
He went to college. He's been to some parties before.
He was talking about spring break earlier this year. He's I'm ripped.
Yeah, when they were saying you always been like you know, jacked or whatever. So also Justin Jefferson said that Kirk Cousins is not as much of a dad as people, you know, like to rag on him for. He's you know, he's got his cool ways about him. I'm like, oh, all right, getting some props from Jefferson. This is from like a little interview with CBS before the game with Nate Burleson, who former Viking. So
Love Nate Burleson.
I was
tough
impressed.
Name to say, apparently.
I want to say I'm impressed by, yeah, just the Vikings not shooting themselves in the foot. You look at the other side of the field, the Jets, they made a bunch of plays, the two turnovers included, six penalties, where they're looking back and being like, you know, if we didn't make one of those plays, we probably would have won. And the Vikings, like, I feel like that's been the whole theme of the Viking season, is where, you know, we might not be the best, but we're going to make fewer mistakes than the other team. And if you find a way to win, then good for you. But most of the time, we're going to win because we're going to be the team that makes the fewer amount of mistakes. And so far, it's worked out for them. I think they're a very disciplined team this year in terms of penalties and other things like that. You rarely see, you know, like an unsportsmanlike conduct hit or anything like that called on the Vikings this year. I don't think anyone's got ejected. You can, you know, say what you will about the Zimmer defenses and stuff. They were tough and stuff. They were pretty aggressive. And sometimes it came back to haunt them. So. I think just being really disciplined and smart football and not making mistakes, it really pays off in situations like this. Because the Vikings know they're not a powerhouse team. They know that they're not the Cowboys right now. They're not the Eagles right now. So they're playing to their strengths. And right now their strengths is to outsmart you. And Kevin O'Connell comes from a Patriots franchise that that's how they won like a lot of their Super Bowls. Yes, they had talent. They had Tom Brady and Randy Moss and a bunch of other guys back in the day. But like overall, they pretty much just outsmarted everybody, you know, most of the time during their dynasty. And I think that's something that Kevin O'Connell is trying to instill into this Vikings team. So hopefully that continues, you know, for multiple seasons and not just this year. What disappointed you the most about the Vikings yesterday?
Blowing that lead, or just about blowing that lead. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's coming, but it still doesn't make it any easier. Where I, you know, it was so weird, like people walking out of US Bank Stadium, it felt a little bit like a loss. Just kind of, yeah. You know, you had that sigh of relief. It was like getting blown out of the doors at the Metrodome because everybody's like, ugh, you know. But, you know, would you like to see them blow a team out? Fine. But, I mean, it's not happening across the NFL. Nobody's blowing anybody out. And if it is, it's usually an outlier like the Dallas
game. Yeah, the Colts. Or the Colts. The Cowboys last night against the Colts.
Jeff Saturday ain't scared, though, bro. Oh, like just fair. Watching yeah. that game, it was just like this guy is in over his skis. I'm sorry. Like
it was pretty close for a while.
I was coaching high school ball and like I told these boys I ain't scared, you know, yeah. and what and it's just like
that's okay. He said
I was
today
hired
that,
to play a coach on TV and I'll he get said fired today that for Jim Harbaugh at the end of the year.
Yes, yes, yes. He said today that he didn't Matt Ryan has like injured shoulder and he said he hasn't asked players about injuries. Because, you know, they'll let him know. I'm like, what? You don't ask them.
You
if,
think
if
the Colts are going to hire him past this year?
No.
I could see it happening.
It's starting
I can see
to,
it happening.
It's
I think Jim Irsay is going out of control.
It's starting to become more obvious that they hired him because they want to make sure that they have a top pick. And they're like, oh, let's just, you know, let's give this guy a shot. Make it seem like, you know, he's an old guy. There'll be someone to root for, but, you know, and at the end, it's not going to hurt his career. He can still go back to ESPN and they can get a top pick. So I think it's starting to seem more and more like that. It's also starting to seem that the Colts are just not a good team.
Right.
So that'll be fun to watch on Saturday in a few weeks when they play the Vikings at noon. So
yeah, it's going to be really interesting to have me watch a Vikings game from the SDSU press box and just kind of, why are you okay? Why are you sweating?
It's the Colts. It's Matt Ryan. Okay.
The trip to Frisco's on the line, man.
All right.
Big game in front of us here.
Let's move away from this game. Another win for the Vikings. They are now 10-2. Their best start since 2017. Last four times they started 10-2, they went to the NFC Championship. So seems like it's a good start. But you wouldn't know this if you looked around on Twitter or ESPN or anywhere else. There's just a lot of people who are still like they're 10-2, but you know, like I don't know. Are they better than the 49ers? Are they, you know, can they beat the best teams in the, well, they beat the Bills in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So who are the number one seed in the AFC right now? That would seem to be a pretty good win, whether you want to call it a fluke or not. They won. They've beaten plenty of other good teams in the NFL. They beat the Patriots, they beat the Jets, they beat the Commanders, on the road again. They're good. They're 10-2. Like you can't say they're not good. They're not. You can't lower their place in the NFC because you don't think they're good. They're the number two seed right now because they're 10-2. But my question for you is specifically: would this team be more respected by the national media if Kirk Cousins was not their starting quarterback? Like, say, let's say Jimmy G or Geno Smith is their quarterback. How would they be viewed differently?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. People just have a negative connotation of Kirk Cousins. They have a negative connotation of the Vikings.
Yeah.
Like the two examples that most of the nation has burned in their brain is Kirk Cousins melting down and throwing three picks in Philadelphia on Monday Night Football. Yep. Yep. And the Vikings just getting absolutely clown hammered to the point where CBS had to apologize for putting the game on. Like that Dallas game, everybody's like, and you know, Dallas is America's team, so you know, you got
they're Skip good
Bayless
too.
Out good. Here going, my Dallas Cowboys, look at my Dallas Cowboys hanging with the Colts for about 45 minutes before pulling away. But it bothers me, honestly, like how much the Vikings are just being ignored. Like even Dan Orlovsky on ESPN this morning, he's sitting there talking. He's like, there's three teams in the NFC. There's the Eagles, there's the Cowboys, and there's the 49ers. Those are the teams in the NFC. It's like the Vikings are 10-2, bro. I'm sorry, Jared Allen scared the shit out of you so bad you ran out of the back of the end zone like a coward. I'm sorry. And I mean, that might be harsh, but I'm sure he gets it all the time, right? Like, it's just such a funny play.
He thought he got validated, too, by Jimmy G earlier this year when Jimmy G had like a heel outside of the end zone, and he ran five yards out, bro.
Like, come on. But yeah, I mean, it's weird how teams are just like, no, the Vikings aren't good. I don't care. They're winning all these games they want. Look at the last five. So like up to the Commanders game, I've probably been like, me and you are both sitting here like, I don't know if they're good. Right. Whatever. Okay, you beat the Commanders, who I think are a good team. They're in last place in the NFC East, but they're pushing for a playoff spot. The entire NFC East could get into the playoffs.
Yep.
Like that's a good division. Okay. So you got the NFC, you got Washington win there. You got Buffalo. Even if it was a fluke because the Bills dropped the ball in the end zone. I mean, think of all the things the Vikings had to do just to get in position to win that game. Justin Jefferson's catch, converting multiple fourth downs, coming back from what was it? 17 points.
Yep.
That's impressive.
That long
right?
Delvin Cook run, like they made Patrick Peterson interceptions. They made plays. It wasn't like the Bills were like, "Here you go, here's your win." Like that fumble on the goal line, fine. But also at the same time, that fumble on the goal line, that was caused for a reason. That was because the Vikings were trying to like get a safety at least, and it turned into a fumble. So like the Vikings made plays. So
The next week the next week you get folded by Dallas. 4 days later, though, you come back, you have a chance to hang 40 points on Bill Belichick. You have an opportunity late in the game because I had 33. And then, you know, if they would have scored on that last drive, it would have been 40. Mm-hmm. And then you beat a Jets team that is good. I don't care if Mike White's their quarterback. Like,
their defense
that's a good
is really
team
good.
Right there. I like, yeah. I mean, he can get he's not their franchise savior, but I mean, he can hurt you. He's got a nice little backup career going, if you know.
He does.
He'll be in the league for another 5 years.
He's Fitzpatrick-esque, I feel like. He can sling it. He can have some moments, but he's not gonna sign him. You're not gonna sign him to a long term deal unless you're stupid and you're like, we're gonna get the most out of him. That's probably not. But I think we're past the days of like the Rob Johnsons and the the Matt Flynn's were like, this guy's been this guy's been a backup. We're going to turn him into, you know, franchise. No one does that anymore. I don't really think anyone does that anymore. But yeah, like the 49ers thing bothers me the most. Yes, they have a very good defense. Great. They just lost their quarterback, their second quarterback for the season. Now they're starting Brock Purdy, who was like the last pick in the draft. Okay, he did well against the Dolphins. That game against the Dolphins was really close until the end, until their defense made the plays and they got the points. Don't sit here and be like, oh, Brock Purdy carried the Niners to a win, because he did it. And now teams are going to game plan. They're going to pressure the hell out of him and make him beat them, and not, you know, Christian McCaffrey, and who's got his own problems, and not Deebo Samuel. And this Niners team, who's not known for staying healthy, I understand they have a very good defense, but that's not all you need in the NFL today. You need to be able to score points. You need a quarterback. You need a sufficient quarterback. Like, you need at least Kirk Cousins to do anything in the NFL. And I don't understand for a second how anyone can still be. I know a lot of people have fallen off and, you know, have realized Niners probably not going to the Super Bowl now. That's great. Then why are their odds still better than the Vikings? Like, I don't understand. You mentioned briefly that the Lions are favored by 1 point over the Vikings on Sunday. The Lions, who have a losing record, who are the Lions, are facing they are home and they're playing the Vikings, who are 10-2. Now, at the same time, this has a lot to do with odds makers and like who all the money is going on, because the Vikings did open as 1.5 point favorites. Now they're 1 point underdogs. And that has a lot to do with the Lions. You know, a lot of people putting money on the Lions. So Vegas just doesn't want to lose money. That's pretty much what it is. Because other sites like 538, that doesn't, you know, base their odds on money, has the Vikings favored by 3 points, like 61% chance of winning. So that's
Steiner
a little
math.
Bit. That's a little bit better. But like, yeah, just seeing that the Lions are favored just makes me infuriated. Like, they're 10-2, man. Like, yes, this game's probably going to be close. And it's like, oh, Lions beat them last year. But this is not last season's Vikings team. This is not nowhere close. They might have the same players, a lot of the same players. This is nowhere close to being the same team that they were last season. No way.
You know what, Adam? I did a lot of screaming at the game yesterday. So I'm just going to grab a sip of water and I'm going to think about what I'm going to say here.
Oh boy.
You know, let's back it up a little bit, right? Let's go back to what Dan Orlovsky was saying. Who are the contenders in the NFC? Philadelphia Eagles. Fine. I get it. 11-1. They kicked the crap out of the Titans. Well, I don't think are that good. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know about them. The Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, okay. They kicked the crap out of the Vikings.
They're good. I'll give them that.
They are good. They are a good team. They're a threat. I will give them that. San Francisco 49ers. Everybody's darlings. Like, everybody just loves them, right? What do we hear every time we hear the San Francisco 49ers? Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius. Okay. The Minnesota Vikings have more points than Kyle Shanahan right now. The 49ers have more yards. But there's more points on the board. Yep. So if we're not going to buy Mike Zimmer rules, sorry for the stray there, Coach Zim, but if they're not going by Mike Zimmer rules, Vikings have a better offense because they put more points on the board. Okay.
Yep.
Kyle Shanahan has Deebo Samuel on his offense. Deebo Samuel had 1,700 yards of total offense last year. I don't know his exact number, but it's like cut in half right now. He's under 600 receiving yards. He doesn't run the ball. Why would you not give the best player the football? Okay. And I understand. Well, I got Jimmy G. What am I supposed to do? Jimmy Garoppolo is a Super Bowl quarterback. He was in the Super Bowl. Okay. So what excuse do you have for not getting, hey, Brandon Ayuk's open, any team can contribute. Brandon Ayuk is only a top 20 receiver according to PFF's grades. Good, but not like this superhuman guy that Deebo Samuel was a year ago. George Kittle is a freaking glorified left tackle right now because they have him running routes, but nobody can ever find him. I should know I have him on my fantasy team, and maybe this is a little bit where this is rooted. But Kyle Shanahan, I have joked about this. He is the guy. He is the adult football version of the kid who gets a freaking giant Christmas present and just wants to sit in the corner and play with the box. Okay? He trades for Trey Lance, gives up 3 first-round picks. The Miami Dolphins got Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb with those first-round picks. He sits there. He has Trey Lance. He goes, nope. Got to keep Jimmy on the roster. I just don't feel good about that. Like, got to keep Jimmy. Jimmy Garoppolo, good. Like, if Trey Lance didn't break his freaking ankle, he might have pulled the trigger. He might have said, Jimmy G time, let's go, because I'm Kyle Shanahan. I'm an offensive genius. At the same time, too, people are talking about Ryan Clark was on ESPN going like, if Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, this is more important than when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl.
He's not winning the Super Bowl.
What are you on? And if he does, great. We can talk about it then. But what are you on? Like, watch the damn 49ers.
Purdy wins the Super Bowl.
Like, this is unreal. I do not get it. Their defense, top shelf, top of the line. D'Amico Ryans was a candidate for the Vikings job. I am genuinely interested to see where he lands next year. But if it weren't for that defense, this team would be absolute garbage. Christian McCaffrey, you traded 2nd, 3rd, 4th round picks. You traded a 5th round pick next year. What do? You play Elijah Mitchell. Why? Why? And of course, Elijah Mitchell goes down. Christian McCaffrey's got a bum knee because, shocker, he's a 26-year-old running back who wound up not playing the last couple of years due to injury. Wow, how could this have happened? And we want let's keep piling on Kyle Shanahan, huh? Because I hate the fact people think he's this offensive guru, mastermind type guy. You know what else Kyle Shanahan is famous for? Choking at every freaking moment. So when people talk about the Vikings blowing a 17-point lead yesterday, I sit here and I go, who was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons when they blew a 28-3 lead? Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Who was the head coach when the San Francisco 49ers had a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes? Kyle Shanahan. Who was the head coach on the sideline opposite of Kevin O'Connell in last year's NFC Championship game when the Niners choked again? Kyle, offensive genius, galaxy brain, Shanahan. Like, I don't get it. The guy looks like a Menards contractor who just screwed up some contracts, and he's just getting ripped by this Amish guy, just like going to town because his siding's dented or something, or somebody put something in the wrong spot. The mere mention of Kyle Shanahan makes my blood boil. It makes my blood boil. And I remember listening to a podcast where it was the Audible with Cecil Lammy, and he asked a source from the 49er, just like, is Kyle Shanahan a good coach? And this guy just looks at him and goes, is Kyle Shanahan a good coach? No, he's not. He is not. One last thing. I'm sorry.
You're good. Right, keep going.
The only thing that would make me happier is if the 49ers and Brock Purdy had to come to US Bank Stadium and just got their freaking faces kicked in. And this is fan me talking. This is fan football me. I don't care. I don't care if it's professional or whatever. That guy is a fraud. You want to talk about frauds? You want to label the Vikings as fraud, even though they're 10-2? They've beaten all these teams. And look at the Niners schedule. Look at who they've beaten. They could barely score points against the New Orleans Saints, okay? Like, the only reason they won that game is because they made Alvin Kamara fumble and they shut him out. Defense, right? The Niners don't have these bad games. What the hell happened when Kansas City came to town earlier this year? They lost by 21 points. Patrick Mahomes hung 44 points on their ass.
They lost they lost to the Falcons. They lost to the Broncos. Who loses to the Broncos this year?
Bears. They lost to the Bears. And I don't give a shit whether it is a monsoon or not.
It was in a monsoon. I'll give them that. All right. I will say the win against the Dolphins was impressive. But because of the defense, it wasn't because of Brock Purdy. But now you have the rest of the season. They have to, figure out a way to win the division with Brock Purdy. Their schedule's pretty easy. They play the Bucks at the Seahawks. Well, maybe it's not too easy. At the Seahawks, Commanders, Raiders, who are kind of, I think they won three in a row. And then they end with the Cardinals. So kind of some tough, sneaky tough games for the Niners coming up.
Yeah, we'll find out a lot about them the next 5 weeks. They can score points with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I think they'll win the division. I don't think they make it out of the wild card round. I don't. I really don't. I think they're going to have a lot of expectations because the defense is going to be good. And who's to say, you know, the defense is going to stay healthy? Like, these guys, the Niners, every year we see they drop like flies. It's not any different. We just saw Jimmy Garoppolo. He was just gone. And now, you know, we're still loving the Niners.
Where would Kyle Shanahan be if it weren't for Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs?
Yeah, right.
And his dad, of course. But
yeah. So we, but you know, the Vikings got Kevin O'Connell. I feel like he's not a fraud. I feel like he has brought this team together. He's gotten the most out of this team. I enjoyed learning yesterday during the broadcast that he, whether he left the Rams or not, he was going to become the offensive play caller for the Rams this year, no matter what. So he was going to call plays. No matter, he was being groomed by McVay already. So we always talk about, like, well, O'Connell's never called plays before. Well, he was getting ready to do it for the Super Bowl champs. So if they have confidence in him to do that, then he's going to be fine. So that was fun. Should we just accept the fact that some people just aren't going to give the Vikings credit no matter what? Like, that's just people. Every time after they win, somebody comes out with a tweet like, oh, well, this interception happened in the 32nd mark, and this touchdown happened with 10 seconds to go. And I'm like, so every team that's won a Super Bowl in the last few seconds, it doesn't count because they won, you know, they weren't supposed to win. They, like, what? Like, just because you win in the last, you made the play. You make the play. Like, good teams make plays. They make plays. So what's the problem?
To quote Jesse Pierce, Bar Down Beauties and Before We Die over at Score North, just keep winning.
Yeah.
Just keep. I don't care who it's against. I don't care how you do it. Bank those wins, baby. Because you know what? If you win three games in the playoffs, there is no Russian judge sitting over there giving you a 7.2 or whatever while everybody's giving you 10s. It does not matter. And honestly, the 49ers can clap back at me with the same thing. Like, well, you're screaming about the 49ers wins and losses. And then, like, yeah, you're absolutely right. They are winning games right now. That is big for them. But I mean, with this team, just the confidence boost that comes with winning games, being in a position. I mean, and you know what happens if you keep winning games? You're going to get home games at US Bank Stadium. You know what happened? The first and only game that's ever been played, a playoff game at US Bank Stadium, was the Minneapolis Miracle. I don't know. Crazy shit can happen. So,
sticking to their wins before we get out of here. Are you more in the mindset now that the Vikings have, you know, already exceeded expectations this season and it's a success no matter what? Or are you in the mindset that these seasons don't happen all the time for this franchise and they need to do everything they can to try and win the Super Bowl? Because you don't know if they're going to be good next year or the year after or after that. Like, they're 10-2 right now. They need to focus on winning as much as possible, right? Or are you like, everything else is just, you know, frosting or whatever?
I don't see a team that's built up for a long term. I mean, I see a team that will be very good once they get their pieces in. Yeah. But I mean, this could be a year where it's like, do it now. Don't bank on, because I was thinking about this the other day. I'm just like, so if the Vikings, let's say they get, like, if they don't get to the NFC Championship game, I will be a little bit disappointed just because the goalposts have been moved since the beginning of the year. Yeah. It's like, okay, you reach the first goal. It's like Mario. You have the first level, which is kind of easy, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you go to the next levels and each one's kind of harder, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is how this kind of works. So for the Vikings, if they don't make the NFC Championship game, where they'll probably have two home playoff games because if they beat Detroit on Sunday, they will be the NFC North champions.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like they could probably lose the rest of their games and they'll still be the NFC North champions.
True.
So
you don't want to back in, though.
No. But the Vikings have done that before. We know they have.
Now, if the Vikings have to go to Santa Clara to play the Niners, I am very concerned. Mm-hmm. I just want to throw that out there. Mm-hmm. So I do not want, but yes.
Yeah, it makes a difference. Yeah, I feel like NFC Championship is the goal now for sure. And then I feel like if they lose there, people are going to be like, oh, I told you so. I told you the Vikings weren't for real. And it's like, no one ever thought they were going to get the NFC Championship. So you're not proving anyone anything. Like heading into the season, no one thought they were going to be this good. So like the fact that they were able to do this much with that little expectation, I think is an accomplishment of itself.
Well, and let's ask you this question. Let's say, okay, so the Vikings get bounced in the divisional round. We're sitting here. Look at what the Eagles did. Like the Eagles had the flexibility to be like, all right, we're going to go make our big move. We're going to go get AJ Brown. Yeah. What is the big move that the Vikings can do? So they got to pay Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins is under contract for a lot of money. Adam Thielen's under contract for a lot of money. Dalvin Cook's under contract. And those guys, you know, Thielen, Cook, Kendricks, Smith, they're all getting older. And I'm not trying to be negative or anything, but I mean, you need to find a way to replenish this roster and add depth. And you can't do it by trading down in the draft 20 times so you can have 30 draft picks. Rick Spielman tried that and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And honestly, after Kwesi's first draft class, I'm not feeling real good about that either. So,
I mean, who would you even trade for? Would you trade for a corner like Jalen Ramsey or a pass rusher probably? Or I think they're maybe a receiver. I think that's still a question mark. Still a question mark. You got TJ Hockenson. He's obviously another receiving threat, and he's helped tremendously, taking some attention off of Justin Jefferson. But yeah, Thielen's getting old. For some reason, he doesn't know which way to run. KJ Osborne's not it.
He has got to be the most disappointing player on the Vikings this year.
Third down wise, like he comes up great. He's a modern day Jarius Wright, who I believe sounded the horn yesterday.
Yes,
I saw that. I was like, horn. Apparently he's retired now. You don't do that if you're active. But yeah, he's a modern day, like third down. Like he had the game winning touchdown against the Lions. Like he in clutch moments, Kirk Cousins seems to kind of look his way. He still feels confident. But other than that, like he doesn't really look his way. And I don't blame him. He's got Justin Jefferson. He's got TJ Hockenson. So you can't really blame him. But yeah, I think expectations they've already exceeded expectations. But at the same time, they've raised their expectations. So NFC Championship right now or bust probably. Last question, though, about, you know, winning the Super Bowl. Is getting the number one seed in the NFC the only way you can see the Vikings having a legit shot at winning the Super Bowl this season?
I think the Philadelphia game's a coin flip.
Really?
I really do. I think if they have even to go to Philadelphia, I think this team could win.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm a little bit insane, but I mean, that 24-7 game, we've said it before.
Just don't like
if Irv Smith. No, and I don't like going there either, but Irv Smith catches that touchdown.
Yeah.
It's a different game. Plus, the Vikings shut out the Eagles in the second half of that game. They could go to Philly and just get their ass whooped. Like, there is a very good chance of that happening. But I don't think it's a 0 point. It's a non-zero chance that they could win in Philadelphia. And you know what? If Philadelphia stumbles and you get that 2 seed, they have to come here.
Yeah, whoever meets them.
I mean, look at first seed last year, Green Bay Packers. We heard from all the Packer fans, like, we got the number one seed. Everybody has to come to Lambeau. 49ers were like, LOL. Oh, by the way, the 49ers offense sucked in that game, too, and it was all defense and special teams. But
that's all I needed.
Offensive genius Kyle Shanahan, though.
Yeah. I think they got to get the number one seed. I think it's too hard. And the way that the playoffs are formatted now, where only one team gets a bye, I think that number one seed has a huge, huge advantage compared to everyone else. And I think if they want to have they could still go on a run or whatever and win the Super Bowl. But I think their chances are just that much better if you get the number one seed, which they're still in contention because I believe the Eagles and Cowboys still have to play. So those two will kind of knock each other out one way or the other. I don't want to see the Cowboys they're too good right now. I don't want to see them in the playoffs. They're too good right now, man. They don't even care. They're just getting they're jumping in Salvation Army bins, getting fined. They don't even care.
How is it that, you know, this is nothing against Cameron Bynum, but like, how can the entire Vikings defense celebrate Cam Bynum's interception, but don't jump into that Salvation Army bucket? We don't want that. Like, you know, it's just weird to me.
Yeah, it is pick and choose. Yeah, I guess because it's a prop. It's not allowed. That's technically a prop. We're gonna get out of here. We're done talking about the Niners and the Vikings because, you know, it's a Vikings podcast. But yes, the Vikings won again. They're 10-2. They'll play again on Sunday in Detroit against the Lions. We'll be back on Thursday with a little preview of that. Cam Dantzler is supposed to be back, I think. Caleb Evans is out again. He's not playing this weekend. Christian Darrisaw, I wouldn't expect him to come back for this week at least. And they've been okay without him. So we'll see how that goes next week against the Lions. But if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Like this video. Follow along on Twitter and Facebook. The audio version of this podcast will be available on Apple Podcast app, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, Chris and I will talk to you later.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.